good nizzle to all y'all. Oh, don't worry, you're not being carjacked or rolled. I'm just attempting to engage our younger listeners in a period-appropriate dialect. A special shout-out to my 45-year-old son, Devin, for his straight-up, new-jack, trans-ligatilation. Obviously, those 4 years at Princeton really pay off. I'm really trying to reach out to the millennials out there because we expect a large number of them will be particularly interested in today's spotlight on the history of the duet. Recently, what is believed to be the world's oldest recorded duet was uncovered on a wax polytope, which of course was Nikola Tesla's far superior alternative to Edison's wax cylinder. If only more people knew what a great man Tesla was.
My associates were pursuing a lead on Dr. Tesla's universal death ray. That lead, sadly, ended up being a dead end, but we were able to unlock the secrets of a curious artifact, one which we believe contains the world's first recorded duet. Sadly, while it is of historical interest, it possesses limited destructive capabilities. Back to the old drawing board, I suppose.
Well, let me tell you about my woman. She's a real swinger. I went and got myself a big fat opera singer.
My baby sings the blues, and there's no money in that, so I guess I'll settle for a stupid heart.
I think we all feel more enriched having heard that. With the release of Synesthesia Fats and Francesca Zetfig's Foreheard single, other artists of varying girth began sidling up to the musical trough. Apparently, as late as the early 30s, many musicians had trouble comprehending the exact nature of a recorded duet.
Let me sing you a little song about a special gal I know from Cincinnati.
Now wait just a minute there, fella. I was about to sing a song about a special gal I know from Detroit.
That's to you and your old chunk of lead from Detroit. This little ditty's about a real spiffy dish from Cincinnati.
Nobody ever got no place good being stuck on a girl from Ohio. I'm afraid your visit to the studio was a trip for biscuits. Now step aside before I rough you up.
I'd like to see you try.
What have you done, Bally?
Come here, you.
I'm not your marker.
You've got a head like a cabbage.
The success of 1955's Dueling Banjos, later popularized by 1972's feel-good hit Deliverance, led to a number of unconventional, non-vocal duets.
These days, the ukulele is associated with these wispy young college girls in the Tina Fey glasses. But back in my day, it was a serious instrument for men. The top two strummers in the world were me, Hookie Loudreau, and Tubbs Kahuna out of Pittsburgh.
So dig it, man. Soho, 1956. Two freeform alto sax players both claiming to be the hippest of the hip cats. Only one way to settle up, you dig? A sax off.
For me personally, it was nothing to do with music and everything to do with honor. My ancestral home had been sullied, slandered even, by some common braggart. Such dastardly libel could only be answered with a duel. As dictated by this most gentlemanly of traditions, I allowed the scallywag first choice of weapon. He chose the tuba. Notes, as you can hear in the recording made for some reason in the interest of posterity, but I soon realized that satisfaction was not yet mine, so I bludgeoned him with that blasted tuba.
Lights out!
Yes, and now I'm in prison for the rest of my life because apparently murder is a crime.
That brings us to the 1970s and 2007's Webby Lifetime Achievement Award winner, David Bowie.
So I'm at the top of my game, right? I kick cocaine in 78. And all I could think about was that Christmas song I did with Bing Crosby, and it got me thinking. Outside of wife-beating crooners, who's on my level, vocally speaking? If I wanted to do another duet, who would be up to the challenge? Then, as if in response to my unspoken question, a strong electrical discharge knocked me on my arse. When I got to my feet, there he was. Me.
So I'd mastered all of known space by 1980, and naturally the next step in this progression was mastery of time. I won't bore you with the complex quantum calculations involved, but long story short, by 2015 I'd built a working time machine. And my first mission was the fulfillment of a half-remembered dream I'd had all those years ago.
We're going to have sex with each other now, aren't we?
Wouldn't be the first time, lad. I call Top.
In the future, we'll be in space.
In 2015, there's no moon base.
Mankind's destiny is in the stars.
There's no rockets, lad. There's only cars.
We'll brew with aliens in the Milky Way.
Sorry, lad, that dream is not alive today.
Well, future me, I'm very inspired by this portrait of the future you're painting.
Yes, it's all a bit dispiriting, isn't it? Only one thing for it.
Dancy,
like you dancy.
Who's Hugh Dancy?
You'll find out.
Well-known country music artist Johnny Cash won acclaim for his 2002 cover of factory musician Trent Nail's song, Hurt. But few people realize there was a B-side to that recording cut around the same time. We're going to take you out now with that delightfully playful melody. And be sure to download our This American Tragedy podcast, Real Life Murder. It's fun when it's not happening to you. I'm told that thanks to us, podcasts are cool again. Yeah!
So we laid down the tracks for Hurt in late 2001. I was anxious to meet Trent because I sensed in him a kindred spirit. Another outsider who had known the pain of loss.
I signed the paperwork for Mr. Cash to do Hurt, and I figured that would be the last of it. So imagine my surprise when he showed up at my loft.
I might have known something was amiss when he greeted me at the door, wearing an apron, oven mitts, and holding a tray of freshly baked snickerdoodles. This was the man who wrote Hurt?
Obviously, I was thrilled to have a living legend in my home, and there was only one way I could think of to show my respect for him and his body of work.
Well, I knew that snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother had. I knew that scar on his cheek